The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
It's my delight to be in Texas. I thought you'd like that. I do like Texas. I wish some of the rest of the country would get a hold of some of what has infected Texas. Some of our places, you know, New York, Washington State, Washington D.C. They're not normal. They're weird, and they need a little bit of what you all got a whole lot of. And so I'm glad for that. I'm glad to be in Texas, and it's a joy to be here at Parkside Baptist Church. And for me to tell you my love for Brother Wells and how proud I trust in a right way of him, it would take a while for me to lay out the whole story on that. But I thank God for what the Lord's doing, has done with him for a lot of years now, and does right here with you every day. And those are good things, and certainly the grown men and his family, blessing they are. And and by the way, the choir that was behind me just now, teenagers, are they all teenagers? No. They're young adults. They're not singing kiddie music. They're not singing junky music. And I like that. That's impressive. Very impressive. Not only did it well, but what you were doing was good. And that's the right kind of stuff. You know, where I grew up, you know, when you ate the right stuff, my mama would say, "Now that'll stick to your ribs." Well, you young adults, you stick with that kind of stuff and it'll stick to you for a long time to come. Do you good. Praise the Lord. Well, look, I'm gonna read a text here in a moment and do what I'm gonna do, and then we'll have the treat and the delight of hearing my friend, your friend, Brother Hamlin. He's been here a number of times as well, and always when he and I preach together, we have a good time together, good friends, and thankful to the Lord for him and for his ministry, 39 years in full-time evangelism, and he preaches almost every night of the world somewhere, and we're delighted to have him here for this service tonight and for later in the week. Now, I want to do something tonight. Oh, by the way, we gave you copies of the paper. You notice how I said that? The paper. The paper. We gave you copies of the paper. Now here's what I'd like you to do. Either tonight or tomorrow night. There's some envelopes out there on the sword table, but even one of the envelopes on the back of the pew or whatever, if there's some there, if you put your name on it, and I'm going to do something for a Baptist Leadership Conference that I hope will help you. I want you to get the paper. So I'm going to let you decide what you pay for it. I'm serious. You put your name and address on the envelope, turn it in, and we're going to send you the paper for the next year. That'll be 26 times it'll land in your mailbox every other week. But I'm going to let you decide what you pay for it. And whether that's a little or more, you decide what you want to pay for it, and we're going to send it to you. That's a serious offer, and I want you to get serious and take me up on it, okay? I appreciate it. All right. I'll mention that again tomorrow night. I'm here two nights, and I'd like to take those with me when I leave Monday night. And I want to be, hey, listen, I'd love to come to see you often. The way I can do it is with the paper, and you won't have to feed me. All right. Now, I want to do something tonight that has not been done here since this morning. Scared you, didn't I? But I want you to take your Bible and I want you to turn to Psalm 23. Amen. Psalm 23. And once again, we'll read it in its entirety. And then there's a spot in it that I'll camp on for just a little bit tonight. And then we'll have Brother Hamlin up here in just short order. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, for those of you that were working in other parts of the ministry this morning, I read this text in the morning service, and the message then was on verse number 6, and especially on the last word, the word forever. And I gave a message that I call, "What's All the Excitement About Forever?" Tonight, I want you to look with me at the first part of verse number 5 that says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And when I see the verse and it says a table, this is a table that God prepares, and so I'm going to suggest to you that God is not preparing just cookies and milk. I don't think we're talking about snack time here. When God prepares a table, in my mind, it is a table of luxurious delicacies, so I'm going to call it a banquet table. And then when he talks about in the presence of mine enemies, he's talking about the battlefields. And so I want to bring this to you tonight, centered around and upon this verse, a message that I call Banquet Tables and Battlefields. Now, very frankly, I love the banquet tables. You probably would be able to tell that somehow or other that I do. But I do. I love the banquet tables. Whenever we finished the service this morning, I went out to the lobby with Pastor and Mrs. Wells. And after you had gone through the lobby and were on your way home, Brother Wells looked at me and he said, "Where would you like to eat?" Oh, what music to my ears. And I announced to him, "I had a good time at the barbecue place last night and I would like to do it again." So he was very kind to me and took me and we indulged again. I love the banquet tables. Now, the second part of this is, I wish there were no battlefields. But battlefields there are, and there are many of them, there have been many of them, and there will be yet many of them. I have, been privileged to visit a lot of the battlefields of the past, all across this country, from Vicksburg to Shiloh and Gettysburg and the Alamo and others. I've been to many of the battlefield sites in this country. I've been to many of them in Europe, Normandy and the Rhine and Bastogne, and in Asia to Hiroshima and other places in the world. The battlefields, they're all over the place. The reality, the stark, grim truth, the scary facts are there are battlefields, and they are representative of a fight that took place when usually something good was attacked by something bad. And sometimes the good wins, sometimes the bad wins. But what I want to say to you tonight is this passage is telling us that the battlefields are there, they are here for every preacher, every Christian worker, for every son and daughter of the living God. There are battlefields. And this passage affirms the presence of the enemy. He's here. The old devil, he's here. I'm telling you, he will show up sometimes just because he wants to. He'll show up sometimes because his pride wells up and he stands up to try to defend some crazy position that he's taken, sometimes out of prejudice, sometimes out of just his propensity for being immoral and for being ruthless and being a killer and a liar and a cheat and all of those things. The devil shows himself strong. The world, the flesh, and the devil are not just catchy phrases, but they are realities, stark realities for us. Ladies and gentlemen, I need to say to you, the enemy is real. And he will be rough and he will be ruthless. He will not give you a pass, but he will come at you. He'll come at your family. He'll come at your church. He'll come at everything that is good and holy and pure and precious and priceless to us. Now, the enemy often determines that he wants to take us on. He wants to aim his guns at us. And when he does, I have some concerns. Any battle, I want to survive. If we've got to have a fight, I want to survive. And not only do I want to survive, but very frankly, I'm interested in whether or not we're going to succeed in that battle. I have no sympathy at all with the political nincompoops, people in places of authority. When we have to have a battle, and they put our military men and women in position where that they're just, they're just going through the motions, and they have no intent to win the battle. If you've got to have a battle, take it to them, get it over with. Let's win it, and let's survive that thing. Now, if there's got to be a battle, I want to know, do we have a strategy of conflict? I mean, what's the strategy? We're going to go storming through Mesquite, doing the business of God. Do we have a strategy? I want to know. What are the leadership? Who's leading this thing? Do we have somebody leading our battle who has some understanding of what it ought to be about? I want to know that. And I want to figure out, I mean, we got sufficient armament. I'm acquainted with some churches. They've got everything under the sun in their budget, but the right thing. You looked at their budget and what they spent their money for in the last 12 months, and there would be very little money spent for reaching people, very little money spent for invading their town, very little money spent for getting folks saved and baptized and into the church. But they got money for everything. I mean, every kind of a thing that you can imagine. But they're not spending it right. I want to know, do we have sufficient armament? Are we going to buy what we need to be able to get the message? I mean, we're going to print things that we need. We're going to have things to work with. We're going to buy buses. We're going to do what we need to do. And if we're going to have a battle, I want to know that somebody is going to be my fellow soldier and going to be supportive of me in the battle. You know, a battle can be a very lonely thing, and especially if you're alone. But if somebody else will walk alongside you, if somebody else will support you, if somebody else will be there and watch your back, then you're in better position. So I have those concerns, and I wish there were no battlefields, but I have to tell you, for Christians today, there are lots of battles. We got battles over the Bible. We got battles over the Bible. Folks that, we think this ought to be done a little different. We think this would be expressed a little better this way. And they tinker with it a little bit, little inches, incrementally, little tiny inches at a time. Silly little centimeters. They move it, they change it, they adjust it. All the while acting like, oh, yes, we're Bible believers. No. They're not. They just need to read it and believe it. We got battles over the Bible. We got battles over the blood. Battles over the blessed hope. Battles over salvation. I guarantee you, in your city, this very morning, all kinds of organizations had their doors open. Now they're all closed tonight. I don't blame them for closing. I mean, if we were doing what they were doing, we wouldn't want to go either. But it doesn't take long for boredom to, you get a belly full of that. Now, but we have a lot of folks. I mean, they're open. They say it's a church. But what they're advocating for folks to get to heaven, I mean, a lot of them don't even advocate anything at all. It's just, what's going on in the streets. They're all into social action. nothing more. Trying to help people pull themselves up by their bootstraps. That kind of thing. Battles, battles, battles. We got Baptist churches, got independent Baptist churches that would argue with you about soul winning. I have some friends in the ministry who wanted to train soul winners, like Pastor was talking about, and had major, major battles. People leaving the church because the church is getting into soul winning. If you can imagine that. I'm not shooting from the hip. I'm talking about places that I know about. Now, battles, battles over soul winning, battles over music. You know, folks saying, well, if I join there, I won't be able to do my music. Well, the fact is, when any of us join, we need to understand that church is not joining us. We're joining that church. You know? And we don't need to, I mean, look it over good. You know? Realize what you're getting into, and you're not going to come in and change it. Not places like this. But we got battles over music. We got battles over, why... You know, some compromiser, well-known compromiser dies. Oh, Dr. Smith, why didn't you have some big thing where you publicized that guy? Why didn't you do that in the paper? I said, well, there are reasons why I didn't.
Amen.
You know, you say, we're not going to run with that crowd that's got Catholics on the platform and turning converts back into an apostate church. We're not going to do that. Not going to do that. Now, I'm just telling you, we got battles. The presence of the enemy. This verse, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy, it attests to the presence of the enemy. But the verse also affirms the preparations of God for the day of the battle. Now, the fact you and I have an enemy, that's no surprise to God. In fact, he put this right in the Bible long before you and I were ever born. Just let us know that he knew it in advance, but he wants us to know it before we get in trouble just being ignorant of the fact. God has made preparation for us to help us in the time when the enemy comes after us. You say, how do you know that? Well, just look at the Psalm. It says, verse 1 says, that he exacts ownership of us. The Lord's my shepherd. Not only does he exact ownership, but he entertains our needs. I shall not want. He elevates our fallen state. He restores my soul. He establishes us by his presence, for thou art with me. Can you imagine having to go into battle and know that the Lord God Almighty, the Lord God of heaven, is with you? I mean, when you run the bus route, when you go knock doors, whenever you have to confront some controversy, to know that the Lord is with you. Just imagine that. He establishes us by his presence. He encourages us by providing the rod and the staff, the instruments of defense, and able to deal with the things that come. He eliminates our fear and gives us courage. I will not fear, the verse says. And on the Bible, I mean, it lays out here very quickly, God has prepared and set the table for us in the presence of the enemy. He has made a menu of his own choosing and put it on the table so we'll have what we need when the enemy comes.
Amen.
You say, well, I wonder what's on that table. Well, again, this is not a snack. This is a smorgasbord. It's a feast. It's a huge banquet table. I think salvation's on that table.
Yeah.
If you're not saved, the devil's going to, I mean, he's going to pin your ears back more than you can imagine, and he will ultimately take you down to hell if you're not saved. But God's put salvation on the table. All you got to do is come and get it. He put eternal security on the table because he knew even if we got saved, he knew we couldn't keep it saved. So God just said, I'll make you eternally secure. He put faith on the table. Over and over and again, I need to just look things square in the face and say, I believe God. I believe God. I'll trust God. I'll take God at his word.
Amen.
Faith, faith, faith. It's on the table. You and I need to believe God. This Bible, this infallible, inerrant, inspired, authoritative, authentic word of the living God, it's on the table.
Amen.
A lot of folks out in town, they don't believe the Bible. Well, Dr. Hudson used to say, you don't have to believe in knives to get cut with one. So we just keep hammering on the Bible. Just keep preaching the Bible, teaching the Bible, taking the message. Amen. Scripture's on the table. Prayer's on the table. Yeah. You know, you can ask God for things and get it. Amen. I've asked God for a lot of little things. But very honestly, I've asked God for some multi-million dollar things that he delivered on. Amen. On more than one occasion. And I want you to simply know that there is a God in heaven who answers prayer. Amen. He loves for his children to talk to him. And whenever we talk to him and to go about it the way that we ought to do it, God does hear our prayer. Prayer's on the table. Spirit filling's on the table. I'm glad it's not just in my little 5'9" frame for getting the job done. I'm glad that God is able to empower us and fill us up fresh with his Holy Spirit and enable us in the preaching, enable us in our witness with people out and about everywhere. Stewardship's on the table. You and I ought to be great givers. One of my goals in life has been to be, not be a taker, but be a giver. God's been so good given to me, and I just want to give back. I love giving to my family. I love giving to the people who work at the Sword. I love giving to my friends around me. And by the way, the more you get close to God and you get filled with it, I think it'll move you away from being a taker. Amen. Make a giver out of you. It's on the table. Fellowship. I stood up here a while ago and watched you all milling around here it was like an ant colony. Good night. Everybody just milling around. Little ones, grown folks, senior adults, ladies and men, everybody just milling around, shaking hands, warm. Hey, listen, you have no idea. There's no idea. I mean, somebody walked in this place today. Somebody may be in this building tonight who's carrying a heavy load, and they need somebody to just get them by the hand and say, I'm glad you're here, and we love you in the Lord. Amen. I guarantee you there's not a Sunday that passes, but what there's probably one or many, more than one, who walk in these doors hurting, broken. They need that fellowship. God's put it on the table. Whole thing about church, it's God's idea. So he put the fellowship on the table. So when I'm dragging, you can help pull me along. Soul winning's on the table. All of these things. God put that on the table for us. So the enemy, We see God announcing the presence of the enemy, but he affirms for us the preparations that he's made. And then this verse also attests to the privilege that is before us. When it says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You know, so many of our churches are trying play and pleasure and popularity and personality. Listen, the work of God, it's not about personality. It's not about prestige or what's popular. Not at all. Listen, the enemy looks at all of that stuff, soaks it up, and just keeps on coming unabated. It doesn't make any difference. I mean, the enemy comes rushing in like a flood tide whenever we do it the worldly way. But God's table, God's banquet table, militates against the enemy. God's banquet table mocks the devil's empty plans and masters the situation when the battle rages, and will make up the hedge for us when the odds seem insurmountable, and will minister us to us in every need that we have. The world may laugh at us and say, what's this now? They may condemn us and say, oh, you can't win like that. They may try to intimidate us and say, who do you think you are? They may browbeat us and say, hey, you know, this is America, you know, some deal like that. Well, we understand their battlefields, but we also know that God's provided the banquet tables. And that banquet table is there to enable us to deal with the trashy stuff that the devil puts in our path. So, my dear friends, tonight, let me tell you this. When somebody hates you, when you're hated, just go to the table. When you feel like bunch of stuff hindering you, go to the table. When you get hurt and you're bleeding inside, go to the table. You want to be happy? Go to the table. You're hungry. Your soul is starving. Go to the table. You feel haggard and homeless. Go to the table. You say, I need help. Go to the table. You say, I'm without hope. Go to the table. Go to the table. The days that I'm in town, I leave the office in the afternoon and head to the house, park the car, go through the garage, through the laundry room, and when I open the door into the kitchen, I can smell the sweet, sweet aromas of home-cooked meals. Now, you again might just guess by looking at me, but my Betty is a very, very good cook. I mean, that girl can cook. And when I walk through the door, in the afternoon and that kitchen is filled with the aroma, I mean, I can just smell it. I mean, my first question will be, what's for supper? What's for supper? Because I know she'd been cooking. But now there's some days when I walk through that door and I don't smell nothing because she hadn't been cooking. Days like that, we may rest in our recliners a little bit. She gets kind of weary with me watching baseball so much during baseball season, basketball during basketball season. So sometimes she goes upstairs to another television and watches those cooking shows. Then after a bit, she'll come downstairs. She'll say, she's up there watching cooking shows. She comes down, well, where are we going to go out to eat? See, some days, she hadn't been cooking. But I'm here to make an announcement tonight. You look to God's table any day, any hour of the day, you'll not find a time when he's not been cooking. There's always something on the table. There's always what you need on the table. You'll not find a time when God will disappoint you and say, we're out, we don't have anything to eat. No. Whatever the need, whatever the battle, go to the table. There's plenty there, and it'll suffice for you. It'll be authoritative for you. It will be adequate for you. It will do exactly what you need to have done, no matter the battle. Right in the middle of this great psalm, thou, dear Lord, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Dear Lord, thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.